take a look back once again at the past week's events here in the Vatican. Our resident Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, sat down with me to review some of the highlights of the past 7 days. So, Joan, lovely to see you here in studio again. It's been another busy week here in the Vatican, not just in the Vatican, because, of course, the Pope was away down south at the weekend. But let's go right back and start last Friday when Pope Benedict had that very important meeting, lovely meeting, with President George Bush and his wife.
It was really quite exceptional. And I know that last weekend we did have to focus on the trip, so we kind of gave a short shrift, or no shrift at all, if you will, in the show to that event. But it was a beautiful day weather-wise, and I must say we lucked out as far as that went, because we've had so many days of gray clouds and rain and cloudbursts and everything. Anyway, it was a very exceptional protocol, or lack of protocol, or change protocol, if you will, in the Vatican, for the Pope met George Bush on the steps of St. John's Tower instead of meeting him in his library. And the Vatican communique on the meeting said that before and after Friday, said that in order to exchange the absolutely wonderful hospitality that he'd received in the United States, and most especially at the White House, the Pope wanted to do something different in the line of protocol himself. And what was very interesting is that normally a head of state will be met, as you know too, in the San Damaso courtyard, then brought up by a guard of honor and gentleman of His Holiness and so forth to the Pope's library. But in this instance, the Pope was right there on the steps of the tower to meet the president. And then they went upstairs. There's a beautiful office. We saw a few, you know, feet of that on film. They met for half an hour. And then there was an exchange of gifts. And, of course, Laura Bush, the First Lady, joined them for that. And Ambassador Marianne Glendon also.
They were exchanging photographs, weren't they?
And that was the amazing thing. Laura Bush laughs right out loud. She sees exactly what the Pope has given them, a photograph of the three of them. They have given the Pope a silver-framed photograph of the President and the Pope at the White House. And then there were other gifts, but that was a very amusing part. Just Laura Bush's, you know, immediate reaction to that.
Spontaneous reaction.
Spontaneous, exactly. And then after the meeting, oh, this was such fun. And if any of our viewers, if you saw this on television, they went up to almost the top of the tower and then walked around this edge of this round tower. And, of course, you know, you can see all of Vatican City. You can see all of Rome. It's a phenomenal view. And the good weather, of course, helped make it even better. And then really the loveliest part, in a way, came next when the Pope and the President walked in the Vatican Gardens for about 10 or 15 minutes. So they had additional time to chat. People were behind them at a very discreet distance, but they could chat with each other, which was lovely. Then they ended up at the Grotto of Lourdes. There was a little wooden, almost like a picnic table there, some wood chairs.
Very simple. It was striking in its simplicity, wasn't it?
Really, in its homeliness, too, or hominess. It really was tremendously simple, like, hey, come on over to my house and let's chat a few minutes. And the beauty of the gardens, it had to be, my impression in watching the President, surely, was that he was very relaxed and was enormously enjoying himself and that very beautiful setting. And then at the Grotto of Lourdes, there was the Sistine Choir, which sang several hymns. I think it was two hymns. So they were all very moved by that. And I bet the Holy Father, in his own way, was too. I mean, this is his world. This is his Vatican City State, his gardens where he often walks, we know, and prays the Rosary with Monsignor Georg. But it had to be wonderful to share it this way with the head of state, as George Bush shared the United States, the White House, which Americans know belongs to them. It belongs to us.
It was certainly a very relaxing day for the Pope, wasn't it? Ahead of his weekend visit, as we said, down to Santa Maria di Leuca and down to the big city, port city of Brindisi.
And it was about a 30-hour visit. He went in mid-afternoon, flew down to Santa Maria di Leuca. It's a very beautiful part of Puglia, of part of Italy. And Sunday, when the Pope was at Brindisi, both of the cities, by the way, are on ports, and Brindisi has a very beautiful harbor. The name Brindisi comes from the word Brunda. I'm not sure of the origin of that word, but it refers to a deer's head. And if you look at kind of an aerial view of the harbor, I think you can imagine the antlers on a deer's head. Maybe that's how it got its name.
It's certainly been very much in the news, hasn't it, over the past years, Brindisi. It's a place where these days many, many, many immigrants arrive trying to get into the country, and there's been a lot of tension with local people. And the Pope spoke of this, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He certainly made mention of that, and he made mention of a lot of things that weren't specifically Italian over the weekend, to be honest with you. And he did refer to the immigrant crisis. He talked about peace in the world, and at his Angelus in particular on Sunday. But he'd, by the way, been to this area of Italy before. He had been to Bari, his absolute first trip as Pope, about a month after he was elected. He went to for the end of the National Eucharistic Congress. So a very busy weekend physically for the Holy Father. He met with young people. That was Friday. That was, Saturday night, his first night there. And he had Mass. He met with young people. And then Sunday, of course, there was another Mass. He met with religious. He had the Angelus. So all told, by the time he got off the plane back in Rome, it was about a 30-hour visit, but they're really filled with activities. Whether it's a small town or a very large city, you still have to get about, and there's transfers, and there's so many other things. So,
this was his 10th visit, wasn't it, I think, to cities around Italy. We think a lot about his international travels, but he does an awful lot of traveling within this country as well.
He has. Surprisingly enough, when you consider at the beginning of his papacy, he did say he would not follow in the footsteps of John Paul and be this global world,
the
pilgrim pope. And yet he has, notwithstanding the fact that he was elected at the age of 78, so 20 years older already than John Paul was when he was elected, he's done amazing things. And, of course, in a very, very short period of time, we will be looking at World Youth Day, a very, very long trip to Australia.
While he was gone over the weekend, there was another important meeting going on, wasn't there, of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. I think we mentioned this briefly before, but on Saturday they issued their final communique from this meeting. This is an interesting one to watch, isn't it?
And it was the 14th meeting that the two sides have had. It's the Islamic-Catholic Liaison Committee. And they also were received by the Pope, who encouraged them to continue their endeavors for the promotion of justice and peace. And their theme was very, very interesting. I would love to just been present in the room to hear the discussions. Christians and Muslims as witnesses of the God of justice, peace, and compassion in a world suffering from violence. And so much of the violence today is reputed to be based in religions or people who say that they're doing it in the name of the violent acts in the name of their religion. So I'm sure that that was a big part of the theme that they talked about. And then they did release a communique indicating 5 points of mutual agreement that they had come to over their 3 days of meeting. And, for example, they began, and I think a lot of people who might tend to look at Islam and Christianity might forget a lot of the points on which they do agree and are very close in their thinking. And the very first one they mentioned, for example, was the inherent dignity of each human being, which stems from fundamental rights and duties. And they spoke of justice. They said it is a priority in our world, and it requires respect of the fundamental needs of individuals and peoples through an attitude of love, fraternity, and solidarity. And, of course, they said what popes before them have said, that there can be no true and lasting peace without justice. They talked about compassion. We must have compassion towards every human person, especially the needy and the weak. And the last point really was that religions, if authentically practiced, effectively contribute to promoting brotherhood and harmony in the human family. So we want to bear in mind, for example, this communique when down the road next November we have the meeting, the high-level meeting in the Vatican of some representatives of Islam scholars and religious leaders with Pope Benedict. They're going to meet in the Vatican, then they're going to be welcomed by the Pope. So a lot of these principles we will be putting on the back burner for that November meeting.
Joan, just time to look at one or two other fun stories, perhaps, that have been coming out of the Vatican over this past week. There was the launch of a musical, wasn't there? An unusual, perhaps, event here in the Vatican Press Office, I believe. It was launched Mary of Nazareth, is the title.
Mary
of
Nazareth,
this musical.
A continuing story. And I did go. The Cardinal Bertone, who was one of the three, if you will, Vatican sponsors, the Secretary of State, and then the Pontifical Council for Social Communications and the one for Culture, actually sponsored this. Sponsored not in the sense of putting out money or being involved in the production, but gave their okay. They supported it. And it really was the entire life of Mary. As I said, I was there. It began at 7:30. It was over at 10. There was one very, very brief 10-minute intermission. I have to say what struck me most, the music was wonderful, many, many beautiful voices, the story of Mary, which could not but include the story of Jesus right through to his resurrection. And what was so amazing, walking the Paul VI Hall, I was sure I was in the wrong place. Because the stage, as all of us know it, from one wall, from the right wall to the left wall, the stage was two-thirds backdrops of just like clouds. It was like being outside. And then the middle third was your huge, big curtains and all the sets that would come down from the ceiling and all the lights and everything else. I'd never seen the hall like that. And it was spectacular what they did. So it's very interesting because they put a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort into this musical. So the place was packed, absolutely packed. There wasn't a seat in the house. So it was a very interesting evening, and it's always fun to be part of an experience when it's the first time for something.
Thanks there to Joan Lewis for that review of events here in the Vatican over the past 7 days.